The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Now, my next guest is on the cover of this week's RTE Guide. She works for the TV3 programme Exposé. Aisling O'Loughlin, you're very welcome.
Good morning to you, John. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Aisling, have you nice sisters?
Nice now could be too extreme a word for them. I have three older sisters. I'm the youngest, which means I get a lot of unsolicited advice. When you're the youngest, your older sisters tend to think that you're absolutely useless and that you can't actually use your brain at all. So they keep coming with the advice thick and fast.
I see.
I know, they're lovely. They're great. They're scattered all over the world. I've got one in the States, my elder sister, who's a boss. And most elder sisters, I think, end up being bosses.
You think so?
And I have one in London and I have one in Kilkenny.
And would you be in touch with them regularly?
All the time. Hmm. All the time. Yeah. And I remember actually sharing a room with Rachel, just the one up from me. And I used to have awful sinus problems when I was a child. And imagine sharing a room with somebody who snores. It's not fair. It's terrible. And I used to snore when I was a kid. So she used to pick the hardest teddy and I'd be in a deep snoring sleep. And she'd just swing it across the room and it would land on my face in the middle of the night. And she'd just go, shut up. Stop snoring. And I can understand that,
okay,
really.
But you've lived to tell the tale. Mm-hmm. And you were the youngest, so they probably thought you were spoilt, did they?
Listen, everybody's got all sorts of filters when it comes to childhoods. But yeah, they thought I was spoiled, which I wasn't at all. Far from it, especially not with them around laughing at me if I got into trouble. So definitely I was not. But yeah, everybody's got their own perceptions.
It's been a busy few months for you, Aisling. You're now a mother of two. Mm-hmm. And you're saying in that piece of the RTE Guide that sort of motherhood came upon you suddenly.
Sure did. Yeah, it was one of those ones. I was like, uh-oh. But
tell
actually, thank God it did.
Yes, this is what your eldest now, Patrick. He's what, three, is he?
He's hitting three. He'll be three in December. Hmm. December the 8th, the feast day of the Immaculate Conception, is his birthday.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was one of those ones. It wasn't planned. But, I mean, I think sometimes the best things in life aren't planned.
You
I'm
were going
so
out
happy
with,
it happened
Nick
now.
Just for a few months. And
yeah. But thankfully, anyway, it's all kind of working out. We work on it day by day. And we've another little fella now, Louis, joined our tribe. And he's the 6th of December. He's the feast day of St. Nicholas. So of the two boyos.
Yes.
And
you have a third boyo as well, Nick.
We were talking,
I think earlier in the week on the show, we were talking about men and their health. And when it comes to going to doctors, they may not be the greatest people to do so. But in the case of Nick, I think he was reluctant to go and get something checked. But you're glad that you pushed him on it.
Well, we've had some year of it, let me tell you, because Louis was born on the 6th of December and Nick hadn't been feeling well. But I was feeding Louis and nobody was feeling well around Christmas time, because everybody gets a cold or a flu, seems to be that time of the year, and then we hit into January and everybody's sniffling, and Nick was complaining and I'd been up half the night feeding the boy, so I didn't want to hear about anybody complaining, because it was like, poor me. You know, I'm the one rolling out of bed for the baby. And but eventually the complaining continued and I was thinking, all right, because he's not really one to complain and he's usually very energetic and he just had no energy. And I knew something was wrong when I went home to Clare for a week and I came back and I was like, well, did you have fun? Did you go out? Because it was around Christmas time. He hadn't gone out at all. I was like, oh, he must be very sick. So, and we went for a walk down to the beach one day and with the two boys and we were coming back and Nick just had to stop up because he was so out of breath. So I was thinking, right, something up here. Of course, went down and got him a tonic in the pharmacy because usually, you know, the Irish answer to everything is a good tonic and you'll be fine. And a slab of red meat, thinking it was just, you know, maybe it was his iron levels. No use. So we checked Louis in for his 6-week checkup down in Bray Medical Centre with Dr. Barbara Bonner, our local GP. Great lady who knows us. And I think there's great power when you know your GP and your GP knows you and gives you time. And she actually took one look at Nick. I'd said to Nick, just come down with me, for goodness sake.
And he didn't really want to know about it, did he? Even though it was still a mystery what was wrong with him, he didn't
necessarily.
He knew
something was up, but he wouldn't go down for himself.
I see. So it's just with Louis's regular checkup.
It's a mystery. Why don't guys do this? He wouldn't go down for himself, but he'd come down with me for Louis. Don't ask me why. But anyway, but Dr. Bonner took a look at him and said, hear you, there's something up with your pallor, because he was a funny looking green that day. And he had bruising and he had a bloodshot eye. And she sent him down to Loughlinstown Hospital for a blood test. And sure, I said, will you bring back some bread and milk and butter on the way back? Sure, he rang me from Loughlinstown. He said, they think I have leukemia. And I said, are you kidding me? They can't be saying words like that. That's very serious. You can't be throwing words like that around. But from Loughlinstown Hospital that very day, he was transferred by ambulance up to St. Vincent's, put into isolation in St. Vincent's Hospital. He wasn't even allowed to go to the loo on his own. That's how seriously they took it. And he knew something was up when 10 doctors walked into A&E and he thought they'd disperse all over the department. No, they made a beeline for him. Yeah. And the next day he started his chemotherapy in St. Vincent's. Mm. And what an incredible job they have done, because only... let me see. Last week he got his bone marrow test. This is after 4 sessions of chemotherapy and having been in hospital for the best part of this year. And they checked his bone marrow to see how his bloods are doing, because that's where it was all happening. It was the white blood cells were crowding out everything else. That's why he was so short of breath, because he didn't have enough red blood cells to carry the oxygen around his body. Thankfully, anyway, the bone marrow sample has come up and shown that there is no more cancer.
Oh, that's good news.
In his bone marrow. Mm. Now, they'll have to keep checking it for the next 5 years, but it was great to get such good news this week.
And do doctors say that he caught it early by going and getting it checked out, that it ensured that the thing didn't worsen and become much more difficult?
I think so much with cancer is pot luck, isn't it? You know, nobody wants to get cancer. And you can say you fight a good fight. Like, nobody wants to die, or, you know. So I don't think, I think so much of it with cancer is just luck. And with Nick, he could have died before that, because his heart was under so much pressure, because he had so few red blood cells in his system, and he was still active. I mean, one day he was on his motorbike and the motorbike broke down. He was pushing it back up the road again. Something like that was putting enormous pressure on his heart. He could have just dropped. He could have dropped at any moment, really. Mm. And I don't know if he would have lasted much longer than a few months if we hadn't gone to the doctor. Mm. So...
there's a message in there somewhere.
He's exceptionally lucky.
What was it like then, or what has it been like? Is he a good patient?
He was a great patient, incredibly. He for once in his life, he was doing what he was told. But Nick is a guy who likes a good institution. He went to boarding school, he was in the army, so he was quite happily institutionalised. And I was in the thick of it back home with the babbies. And I know one time the doctor says, well, you can go home tonight if you want. Because every now and again, he was allowed out in between chemo sessions. And she said, well, you can go home tonight. And he just said, you know what? I'll leave it till the morning. Because he knew right well that I'd be up in the middle of the night with the children. Yeah. And that was chaos at home. Whereas, you know, in the hospital, he was getting minded. He was getting fed well, looked after. I mean, he was in isolation there as well. So he had his own beautiful room. Mm-hmm. He had views of the sea at one side, views of city centre the other. He was so lucky. They did a brilliant job. Mm. The medical staff in St. Vincent's are exceptional, and we are forever indebted to them, and we owe them a lot of blood at this stage.
And did you feel a bit helpless throughout the whole thing, or did you feel that, you know, there was not a whole lot you could do, but only wait to see what the treatment, how it worked out?
I think because everything happened so quickly, we were catching up with ourselves throughout it. And because Louis was so small and Patrick, my 2.5-year-old, really, you know, they needed their mom, and I didn't have time to overthink it too much or to backstroke in it, let's say. Mm. So we were very practical about it. Nick did what he was told. I did the mommying. And then, you know, you're back and forth to the hospital as well. You're picking up clothes. You're, you know, you're doing the practicalities, making sure he's got his pajamas. And plus, he was in good humour throughout. He was very lucky in that the chemo didn't affect him terribly. He didn't suffer the way you'd imagine. And I was close to the hospital. So we were counting our lucky stars more than anything throughout it. Mm, mm. And, you know, because you hear the stories. And then also you're watching the news, you know, for me, you're watching, you know, refugee camps from Syria. You're watching what's going on in Gaza. And you can't help but say, well, we're really lucky.
Sure, that it was caught in time.
We're lucky we've got, you know, a really good hospital that I can mind the kids properly, and that we have a support network. Mm. So, and that was the way we were looking at it all the way. And we actually had a bit of fun too. We had a good laugh this year. It hasn't been awful, actually. It's been all right.
And what about Nick and work then? He's a photographer by trade, so...
Well, he hasn't been able to, yeah. You know. I mean, he's had to take it easy. So things have been tight. We haven't had a bob, but there's nothing new about that.
And has it changed his perspective on life, the scare that he's gone through and from the initial diagnosis right through to now and getting the all clear and touch wood that it stays that way? Has he changed? Has his whole view on life
changed? You'd hope so, John. I don't know if cancer... It does change people. I think it changes certain people. Mm. We'll see. That's all I can say about Nick.
You've noticed nothing yet.
Anyway. No.
Yeah. And you're back to work after having Louis, after your period of maternity leave. Do you feel pressure, by the way, you know, when you take time off that, you know, you'll go back and that job won't be yours? Or do you ever feel that way about your career?
Yeah, but there's one thing about motherhood. It puts everything in perspective where you just kind of roll with it, you know? Yeah, there is a certain amount of pressure. I mean, I had the fabulous Michelle Doherty filling in for me. I mean, she couldn't be any more gorgeous and, you know, and talented. So you're kind of going, oh, great, that's wonderful that she's so brilliant. I'm delighted about that.
You don't want her to be doing too well, sure.
Yeah, so thankfully she got pregnant. I'm like, so I was flowing with my congratulations. But yeah, there's always a little bit of that. But, you know, because I need to work and I need my job.
Sure.
But when you have kids, you know, you do put things in perspective because your focus is on them. And that's a really good thing.
But the expose is going to an hour, so additional responsibilities all around.
Absolutely. So we're going to an hour. We're going live. So it's going to be more fashion. Fashion's a huge seller for us on expose. People love looking at beautiful clothes or just different ideas, inspiration, whether they like it or not. Some they like looking at it. They love weddings. Weddings are huge for us. Bridal gear. People love that. Nearly more so, I would say, than the celebrity output. I mean, every now and again, we will go to London and we'll get the big celebs, and that's important to us. But the fashion is the big seller for
us. Strikes a chord with people. Your least favourite interviewee was Bradley Cooper. Why?
Most recently. There's a long list.
It's a long list. You can tell us the others.
Yeah, don't
Who's on
idols.
That list? Who's on your list?
It's terrible. I don't want to be slagging people off. But no, Bradley was just disappointing because he is so handsome and he's got those lovely broad shoulders and those twinkly blue eyes and you have expectations. But anyway, he wasn't playing ball that day. He just wasn't up for it. Arms folded, monosyllabic answers.
Yeah.
Wasn't, you know, at the park at all. He didn't want to be there.
No good.
Which is
no,
the problem.
Good, no good out of him at all.
No good out of him at all. No chat. Yeah. No crack. And now, it wasn't just me, because sometimes you blame yourself. You're like, was it me? It was the questions I asked. It's all my fault. But
what
thankfully, it was everybody who went in that day came out with a glum face.
I see. Mm-hmm. He was just in one of those humours. Mm-hmm. I suppose you're allowed to do that if you're a Hollywood star. You know,
I don't think so, because I think you're getting paid squillions. You're really lucky. You're being put up in a 5-star hotel and, you know, that's the world's at your feet. Just answer a few innocuous questions,
yes,
for goodness sake.
It's not your life story I want here.
Yeah, exactly.
Who else, then? Who else is on your least...
Look, you only want the bad
who
story,
who else is on
John.
Your least favourite list?
Ah, let me see now. Can you not ask me who's my favourite?
Okay, we'll ask you that too.
Go on.
Okay, your favourite interviewee.
Right. My favourite, Joanna Lumley.
Joanna Lumley.
Love her. Right. She's class. She's smart. Right. She's funny, you know, and she just made me laugh all the way through. And I love her work so far. And, you know, she's a woman's woman.
Good stuff.
And just very, very warm.
Good, good. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure to have you in this morning, Aisling, and continued success with Exposé. And
thank you,
fingers crossed that Nick's prognosis will remain positive.
Thank you.
And we're back in a moment, aren't we, with the results of our sister's company. We'll be back. Sinead Moriarty will be joining us in a minute. I'm glad to hear. Thanks very much, Aisling, and take care.